Ryan, and we're back for another episode of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break. Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I know I'm looking like I should be in the middle of Cobra Kai, which I actually reviewed on for Pop Culture Cosmos. You got to catch that episode that already dropped right there for you. But if you want to go ahead and support us any way you can, it is truly appreciated. Whew. Another nail biter for the Lakers today. They did win 94-92 over the Memphis Grizzlies. And this is the post-game wrap-up show. We do appreciate everyone listening and following us. If you can, support us at Thrive Fantasy, the daily leader in fantasy sports betting, player props. If you want to go ahead and do that for the NBA, NFL, upcoming Major League Baseball, PGA, and esports, just drop in the code LFB and they'll go ahead and match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $50. Also, you got to make sure you put in your first deposit at least $20 or more. But that's from our friends at ThriveFantasy.com or Thrive Fantasy on your local app. But I tell you what, good enough game. We'll take it. Sliding by, up by almost 8 in the last minute. In fact, they were up by 9 in the last minute, but managed to almost lose the lead. They sure almost fumbled away, but they did come out the victors 94-92 over the Memphis Grizzlies in a back-to-back game, the second of a back-to-back. And here today to talk about LeBron's saving performance once again. Stop me if you heard this, Tom, and everyone out there. Not so good floating through once again. Pretty good defensively, but he is back again to talk about it. It is Laker Tom. Again, LeBron James was here to save the day.
It's a good thing LeBron didn't decide to take off the first 30 days like was predicted, you know, when the schedule first came out, because the Lakers would not have a 6-2 record like they do. You know, I'll excuse the last little kick-ups at the end of the game because we really had it won. I think what was impressive about this game for me, Gerald, was the combination of offense and defense that we saw from our superstars. AD really has not been a force defensively. In fact, up until this game, he ranked last on the Lakers in the defensive ratings for individual NBA players on the Lakers.
So and you've been very good at pointing that out. Actually, I wanted to compliment you in pointing that out.
He was great, and I mean that last block, both LeBron and AD made clutch blocks and clutch baskets going down the end. That pocket pass to AD for the dunk at the end. You know that this is the formula that's going to win the championship. It always will come down to how your superstars play. And Anthony Davis and LeBron James saved the Lakers' skins tonight. So congratulations for the Lakers. They've got 4 wins in a row now. They're 6-2. The rest of January is going to be interesting, and then we start February against the Milwaukee Bucks. So we have a chance, if we can continue to run, to build up a record that's comparable to what we did last year when we were 25-3 after that opening season loss to the Clippers. So, you know, you breathe a sigh of relief. I really wasn't worried because it was, you know, there just wasn't enough time for the Grizzlies to come back. Again, the Grizzlies, you know, give them credit. Down 3 of their best players, and they came back and played well. This may have dropped the Lakers out of the top 5 offensively, but it probably solidified their position top 5 defensively. It was still a good defensive game all the way through. Not against the best competition, of course, but slowly but surely, the defense is coming to life, and the team is starting to learn how to play without the rim protection they had last year and still to excel defensively.
That's one thing they have to go ahead and keep focusing on, is trying to go ahead and hone in that defense. You don't have the shot blockers that you once did back there. AD is not the shot blocking force we have seen up until today. That's something that we've talked about for a while now. I do want to compliment Wesley Matthews. I know it doesn't show in the box score, and I know it doesn't show as far as a plus minus, minus 6. If you're going off a plus minus, seeing Kyle Kuzma, you know, he's a source of frustration throughout the entire game, yet he's plus 21 and all that stuff. So right. he knows when to play. I guess he knows when to play, or Frank Vogel when to play him. But Wes Matthews, several times he was able to go ahead and body up and play effective defense. again, not necessarily offensively from anyone outside LeBron and AD was the performance you want to see, but still, defensively, it was much more effective tonight.
Yeah, you know, the plus-minus, for example, and net ratings are interesting statistics.
They're misleading sometimes.
They often do point to the little things you do, but they also can be greatly influenced by who you're playing with.
Exactly.
In this, I just took a brief glance at the box scores. All of the starters were plus, and all of the bench were minus.
Yeah.
But again, the one thing I liked is that Vogel really kept it to a 9-man rotation, and everybody got a chance to play. Even if they didn't get into rhythm, they had an opportunity to get into rhythm, an opportunity to play with their teammates. Gasol made some good defensive plays, ran into foul trouble late in the game. And, you know, it's again, that first 10 to 20 games, I think the rest of January is going to be the same type of story where we're going to sleepwalk through parts of the game because we're so confident we can beat the teams that we're playing. But slowly but surely, we're seeing the players come out, starting to get their legs. The turnovers in the first half were extremely frustrating. We played good defense, but my God, we turned the ball over like crazy. We had a bad shooting from three-point land, only shot 29%, so that will drop our percentages there and our position in the rankings. We were the third-best team in the league before tonight. But overall, you know, you can't complain. These are the types of games that if you're a champion, you come through and you win. And if you've got LeBron James and Anthony Davis on your team, you have a doggone good chance of doing that every single game. So, on to the next ones. I guess we've got a Wednesday and Thursday double hitter coming up. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Back-to-back games. One of them at home. I guess we have to fly back and be ready for that game. And then when they said they condensed the schedule, you really start to feel the effect of it, you know?
Absolutely. So that's something that
I have to give my wife the schedule for, you know, we have a game and a podcast, honey. And it's like every day she looks at me, she says, again,
it's Thursday and Friday. Just to let you, yeah, Thursday and Friday, back to back, and then their next game after that is Sunday. Just to let you know, so Thursday, Friday, Sunday. San Antonio is coming to the Staples Center on Thursday, and then you have the Bulls coming to the Staples Center on Friday, and then the Lakers will be at Houston on Sunday. Just to let you know,
don't we play a 2-game series with Houston, I believe. So we play them again on Tuesday or something.
I'm going to check that a little further. I think you are correct on that. So that is coming up to 12th. That is correct. Back to back at Houston. So
And this lets you see that this particular season, when you compress the games like that, I mean, there's very few chances that a team has to actually have a practice during a regular season normally.
Yeah.
Because it's only when you get 3 games off will the coach actually schedule a practice. And when you only get 2 games off, it's really hard because you want the players to recover. And so generally you have a shoot around, you have a film session, but you don't actually go out there and scrimmage. What it means is these games are the scrimmages. These games are where the players have to work out the wrinkles and work out how they get along with their teammates and figure the game out. It's realistic to expect a little bit of erratic play for the first 20% of the season, which is, in our particular case, the first 14, 15 games. And then we hit a streak where I think we play the top 3 teams in the West, in the East, in a 5-game series of games. We end up playing the Bucks, the 76ers, and the Celtics, which in early February. And that should be really that's when I expect the team to really start to gel, the players to really start to focus. Hopefully the sloppiness and the nonchalance and the overconfidence that you get from playing non-playoff teams will be gone, and you're into the heart of the season, and then you can start really competing. So we still probably got the rest of this month as our extended preseason, and then hopefully we get into the real games that count against the teams that are going to be the teams that you're likely to meet should you get to the finals. It'll be one of those teams. I'm especially looking forward to the game against the 76ers. They seem to be right now maybe the most dangerous team in the East, at least from their record standpoint.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that. They're playing very well right now. Tobias Harris has found finally the kind of play that they want to go ahead and have in Philadelphia. And as was noted today, wouldn't you know, it comes under Doc Rivers, who was basically laughed out of the LA Clippers and moved to Philadelphia. And look what happened there. Seth Curry is playing very well himself. So, yeah, there's a lot of great things that I'd like to see when they match up against Philadelphia. And Philadelphia has always been a strong home team. But getting back to what we're with the Lakers, like you said, it's just, can they go ahead and make their way through this laissez-faire schedule right now and keep focus enough to go ahead and not get any surprises? Because you see, going into the fourth quarter and even into the early part of the fourth quarter, they're down. They're just not able to go ahead and muster enough strength. You could see that they just could go ahead and have the lead anytime they wanted to. It just a matter of effort, I think, at some times that I saw. But on the defensive end, finally, we were able to see some signs of life there, more to what Frank Vogel was like to seeing. But they just need to put it together all in one package. And as of yet, I have yet to see that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Yeah, I think the other thing you're going to see when once you get into February is I don't see the team continuing to do the 11-man rotation. I think that there's going to have to be somebody who's going to be out of that rotation, because it does make it a very hard substitution. It puts you with so many different combinations of players on the floor that it's hard for guys to get into a rhythm in a sense of who they're playing with. One of the nice things about having an 8 or 9 man rotation is that everybody knows when they're going into the game. They know who's going to be in the game with them. They're able to develop some rapport, and they know what this player and that player, where they want the ball, how they want the ball. You just develop a true rotation that actually is of people that know how to play with each other and have experience doing that. When you're early in the season like this and you've got 5 new guys and Frank is shuffling around and going every game with a different type of rotation. I mean, we haven't seen Matthews closing games. That was a brand new situation today. And you look at all of the different things going on, it's really hard to play when you're doing that. And especially when you're talking about an 82 game season, because it all of a sudden it becomes like gym ball, you know, where you go into the gym and you got 4 new guys that are going to be that you pick up to play with, and you call next on the court and you're out there and you don't really know what's happening with the guys, and you don't have that built-in experience that you get from playing a whole season with people and playing with the same guys over and over. So we're fortunate that we got LeBron James and Anthony Davis to save the day. And I'm sure there are going to be many more games over the next 2 weeks where we're going to see that same formula come to forth.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmos Show and the PCC Multiverse.
That is by far my favorite, because it's all so character-driven and the stakes are high and there's much more of a mystery and intrigue to it.
A game like Wolfenstein, which people are saying are one of the most socially important video games of the past 10 years.
Catch our shows on radio worldwide 7 days a week or at any time on Podbean, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on over 30 more podcast outlets. Again, they're doing a back-to-back back at the Staples Center. I will also have upcoming an interview with Rafael Barlow, who's going to be joining us for a one-on-one. We're going to go ahead and schedule that, and it looks like we're going to drop that probably in the interim, so you can check that out on the Lakers Fast Break channel, wherever you get your podcasts. So I'm looking forward to that. But Laker Tom, I know you're working on some great stuff for Lakerholics.com. What's going on with Lakerholics.com?
I've been trying to basically talk about the defense that we're playing, the difference, the fact that in addition to the changes in the roster and the shortening of the schedule, the Lakers are playing a completely different defensive approach than used last year with Frank Vogel, in that we had 2 rim protectors who basically weren't very good at defending on the perimeter. So as a result, every time there was a screen or every time a person attacked the paint, you had drop coverage, which means that the center is going to slide back and protect the rim. He's not going to go out and try to attack the ball handler or attack the shooter. And you give up a lot of easy mid-range shots and a lot of activity right around the key that you didn't normally give up. In the playoffs, the Lakers basically adopted a different approach when they had LeBron and AD doing the shot blocking and Markieff Morris playing the 4. And what you ended up with was a faster, quicker, more athletic lineup that was able to switch on players, that was able to make rotations faster, was able to challenge shots in everywhere, in the mid-range and at the three-point line. They've actually tried to make a switch where they're taking, let's call him a smarter player in Marc Gasol and a more athletic center in Montrezl Harrell to replace two guys who were both very athletic but limited on their ability to defend once they got away from the rim.
Yeah.
And having to learn how to play that way is totally different for everybody on the team, even the guys who are returning, because you can't give guys in the outside the room that you used to be able to, or you have to give them more room now because you don't have anybody behind you protecting your back at the rim the way you used to do with Dwight and JaVale. So you got to stay in front of your man. You've got to be able to switch fast. We're seeing a lot of trapping where they're going to trap and then rotate, where guys are rotating two or three guys and rotating at the same time. And when it works, it's terrific. It's the formula that we use to win a championship. And it's the formula that we're trying to get these guys, especially the new centers, Gasol and Harrell, used to playing. So I'm spending a lot of time both in the comments and in the articles I write explaining that situation, the difference and how it's affected the Lakers defense early in the season, and also the good progress that we're making toward achieving that. And these last two games that the Lakers played against the Grizzlies, even though they weren't a playoff competitor, the defense was excellent overall. You know, there were obvious lapses here and there, but generally speaking, guys were challenging shots. Guys were rotating fast. Guys were making the switches when they had to, and we were trapping people out on the perimeter and doing the rotations that you have to do to play that kind of defense. So it's a brand new thing for Frank Vogel to have given up. This is a guy who, you know, has always had a rim protector and, you know, practically the inventor of defensive, you know, verticality when he was at Indiana. And so it's interesting to see how he's adapted himself to the newer NBA, to what he learned in the playoffs, and to the skill sets of LeBron James and Anthony Davis defensively. And we saw that tonight with the blocks that came at key moments from both LeBron and AD. So we're making good progress. I still think we're probably 5 or 6 games away from being able to make the right moves. And I think part of those big decisions that Frank is going to make is deciding who's going to be closing games. I don't think we're going to be closing by committee once we get a little further down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to have to work out that way. And obviously keeping the guys healthy and safe is obviously paramount, as we're seeing with KD, who is out 4 games just by contact due to the coronavirus.
Yeah, it's kind of strange that he's had coronavirus. He's had COVID-19. Yet they don't make any differentiation to that. And part of it is that they don't have complete evidence as to the transmissibility of the disease once you've had it. You know, you may not be able to get it, but you may be able to carry the virus and transmit it to other people. So
they're on the side of caution, my friend. Point,
you got to be careful, you know.
On the side of caution.
Yeah. And, you know, you wonder what's happening with AC. You know, did he get COVID, or was it just a contract tracing type of situation where they wanted to keep him away from people and were isolating him?
Exactly. So you're worried about what his status will be when he comes back. Is he going to be able to round into form, things of that nature? But it's still early in the season, so I guess if it's going to happen, I guess might as well be now.
Right. I want to give hopefully, a big hopefully they learn from it too, that how did it happen? What, you know, who is the player? Did Alex do something? Did he go somewhere that he shouldn't have gone? You wouldn't expect that from a guy like Alex, you know, I mean, he doesn't have the reputation of a guy.
But again, well, hold on, Laker Tom. It's not always them going to a.
No, it could be the grocery store, or it could be DoorDash coming to your door and leaving a package. I mean, no, I wasn't insinuating that.
Yeah, I mean, you could go to Costco. I mean, I go to Costco once every couple of weeks. You saw what happened in upstate Washington, where 145 people plus that work at that Costco got infected by it. So you don't know where you're going to get it. You don't know how it's going to happen.
You just try to get it anywhere now.
As safe as possible. Absolutely. Just try to keep yourself as safe as possible. Thank you for the thumbs up, including Chris LeBron. Want to go ahead and give a shout out for the offtheballnetwork.com. Give him a shout out out there. They do a lot of great work as far as out there for all the sports coverage. So offtheballnetwork.com. Thank you for the thumbs up. Truly appreciate it. And thank you everyone for watching and listening. But before we head on out, my friend, I want to go ahead and again, let everybody know we'll be back to back Thursday and Friday. So you're going to see our ugly faces again this Thursday and Friday for the back-to-back games when the Lakers go ahead and come home to Los Angeles. They're going to go ahead and start off with San Antonio on Thursday.
Our last game of the year with San Antonio, actually.
Yep. So we're going to see more San Antonio again, but we truly appreciate you listening to us, watching us, following us, doing everything you can to help us out here at the Lakers Fast Break. Again, stop me if you heard this before, like last season. Anthony Davis, LeBron James, they came to play today. Anthony Davis with 26 points, 10 rebounds, and 3 block shots. Finally, a game that was more what we're used to from the Lakers. And also, of course, LeBron James turning it on in the fourth quarter once again. You knew he wouldn't be stuck with 5 at halftime, but 26 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. Funny how, for the most part, now, before we head on, I want to ask you one last question. Funny how, for the most part, his assists are a little bit down, even though up until today's game, the offense was up. Maybe Schroeder is taking a little bit of the usage because of that.
I don't have a hesitation at all to say that LeBron could get his 11 assists per game if he wanted it. But I tend to think that he's doing two things that are maybe his version of load management. Instead of taking off the first month like everybody was suggesting that he was going to be doing, he's done two things differently. One is that he's picked his time and place to really have an impression on the game. And you notice those assists are coming in the fourth quarter. Those points are coming in the fourth quarter. Those points are coming when the Lakers need them. And the same with the assists. So he's basically using that. Plus, I think, and it wasn't tonight, but his three-point shooting. You know, he's had one of the best three-point shooting nights, years so far that he's had in the last 5 or 6 years. He was a 40% three-point shooter at one point in time in Miami. And he shot 39% at 1 year in Cleveland. Before tonight, he was shooting 38.5%. And he looks good on his threes, you know. I mean, he's firing from the logo like Steph Curry. So I think LeBron is getting craftier and smarter about how to use his energy in the game and how to save himself for the long season, especially when you have a short layoff like we did this particular year. It's just a marvel to watch the guy. He is so intelligent. His basketball IQ is just off the charts. I've never seen anybody. I mean, I've watched basketball for over 50 years, and I haven't seen anybody who's got the intelligence and the savvy along with the skill to make it really work than LeBron James. He is, in my opinion. In my opinion, he is the GOAT, no question about it.
Well, you could say like a Magic, or you could say like a Michael, but Michael wasn't as big as LeBron, and Magic, he wasn't as fast as right. LeBron, as you know, and obviously couldn't shoot outside as well as LeBron.
He's the ultimate unicorn that's playing the game today, and he still is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I said this before he came to LA, and they actually drew or, you know, scientifically calculated what's the exact best type of body type or, you know, as far as size, weight, strength, a skill, he comes as close to it as he possibly can.
You know, watching him go downhill a couple of times for layups tonight was just amazing to think that this guy is 36 years old.
Not so amazing if you're on the Grizzlies end and you're trying to defend that.
He just blew by guys. Yeah, I mean, just amazing.
Just amazing.
Thank God he's on the Lakers, man. That's all I can say. It's
I know we disagree on a lot, but that we definitely 100% agree on.
For sure.
For sure, indeed.
Thank you, LeBron.
Yes, thank you indeed. But check out Laker Tom's articles each and every time out at LakerHolics.com. Also, his Medium.com site, which is getting in a whole bunch of traffic right there. Just go to Laker Tom on Medium.com. Also, as well, once again, Thrive Fantasy. If you go ahead with the code LFB on your first deposit, they'll match it up to $50 dollar for dollar if you just type in the code LFB, as long as you do go ahead and have your first deposit over $20, and that's at ThriveFantasy.com, or just download Thrive Fantasy, the leader in fantasy sports betting, player props, of course, on your mobile app. Well, tell you what, again, we squeaked out with another victory, 94-92. Right now, I think we're 6-2 on the season. Still early yet. Hopefully that will, by the end of the day, lead the Western Conference. It would be nice to go ahead and head on home back to Los Angeles with the Western Conference lead on our arms. So hopefully that'll be the case. Tom, it's been great having you on once again. Thanks so much to Nico and Chris for liking us. Everybody for watching us on Facebook Live and YouTube. Cannot thank you enough for doing so. We'll be back on Thursday. It'll be San Antonio visiting the Staples Center. And we'll have the post game here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.